Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the NARALA webinar, Get to Know the Candidates Call, on Friday, the 8th of May, 2015 at 1400 UTC. On the call today, we'll have Alfredo Caldron, Glenn McKnight, Peter Knight, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Ron Sherwood, Judith Hellerstein, Louis Hooley, Eduardo Diaz, Tom Lowenhoff, Alan Pugh, and Evan Leibowitz. I show apologies from Gordon Chillicothe. From staff, we'll have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Terry. Welcome, everyone, to the call to present the candidates for the various positions open for election and selection 2015. The positions open are NARALA Secretariat, NARALA Chair, ALAC Member, and Nominating Committee Representative. Hello? Can you hear me well? Can you mute your phone if you are not speaking, please, so we can continue? Okay, so the methodology, we have seven candidates, and we will have 5 minutes for each candidate to introduce themselves. At the end, we will have questions and answers. But if you would like to start asking questions while the speaking,
left,
please use the chat and write them down and start to note them and ask the questions addressed at the end of the presentation. We would like to start now with the first position, NARALA ALAC Representative Member. We have two nominees, Garth Bruin and Avery Doria. And Terry, if you could please put the wiki page with the statements of interest and expression of interest is on the screen. So now we would like to start with the first nominee, Garth Bruin. Garth, you have the floor. 5 minutes, please. It looks like we don't have Garth Bruin on the line at the moment, so we will continue then with Avery Doria. Avery, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Assuming I can be heard, Avery Doria speaking. So it's actually interesting running for this office. When I first came to ICANN about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, the first meeting I went to, I actually hung out with ALAC in at large because I thought that that was going to end up being my home. Then NOMCOM put me on the GNSO Council, and I've spent the last decade in the GNSO, although have participated in at large and am an at large, an ALS board member, ISOC New York, and have, you know, participated in various working groups in at-large and such. So, you know, the question becomes, why would I switch from the GNSO and the GNSO Council? And I probably would have had a safe seat for another term in GNSO Council had I decided that I wanted to run for it. But I decided pretty much 2 years ago, close to 2 years ago, that I was only going to do one last term there, and then I was going to move on. I wasn't sure whether I was going to move on sort of to put ICANN behind me for a while, and as time went on, thought about it and said, no, I really want to come back to sort of paying attention to at large full-time to ALAC and to see if I could, you know, get elected to a seat in the ALAC. As people might have noticed during the period between two points in the council, I was much more involved with at large, and then drifted away again back to council duties. I tend to take doing those things quite seriously, you know, and there's only so many things you can do, going to all the meetings, doing all the reading, et cetera, so it has to scope. In terms of why, the first very clear reason for leaving the GNSO council is I want to deal with more than GPLDs. There's so much more going on. ICANN is involved in so much more, needs to have a wider scope, and I basically want to go back to having a wider field of vision where, you know, the CCNSO issues, the GNSO, the CCTLDs, the administration of ICANN, how it's all working together, basically have become much more interesting, and in the GNSO, those aren't our topics. I also did not pay attention to time. I apologize. I don't know how long I've been rambling. I really like what's happened with ALAC over the last decade. It really has asserted itself and is starting to be listened to. I think it needs to be listened to more. I think it should have its two seats on the board. I think that its necessary voice should be fully, you know, listened to. I get embarrassed often in the GNSO when we're insisting on we have to have our four or our six, and then people blink and say, well, why should all five of the RALOs be represented? That seems wrong to me, and I hope people that have watched me over the years have seen that I try to, you know, have always tried to make sure that full degree of ALAC representation on these things was there. So I think that, you know, making ALAC listened to, making sure, is something I want to focus on. I really care about work that we didn't finish last time in terms of if there is another GTLD round, making sure it's one where, you know, developing economies, communities, and such really have a fair chance. I've been arguing for a while for a remedial round. That's not an argument that's going to win in the GNSO. That's an argument where the rest of the community is going to have to make that known and make that a priority. And I want to work on doing that. The other thing that I've cared about a lot is the outreach, or I guess it gets called inreach, because I'm not so much looking as how do we get more ALSs, though I think we do need more, because at large, being the global community, it's the only one that you know, can claim the global community. You know, the GAC can claim the global member states of the world, but the ALAC at large are the only ones with the global community outreach. So have to get more members, but also have to get the members more involved, whether it's, you know, giving more opinions during reviews, during comment periods, having a vote, say, in more of the processes, things like that. I think that those are important. So that part. And from ISOC New York perspective, I have watched and I have noticed that even with Jolie and myself participating, there's still not enough communication between the ALS and the RALO and the rest of the process. And so that's something that I definitely am interested in seeing. And I just think that I can contribute. I tend to work hard on stuff, mostly follow through, and so I'm hoping you'll consider voting for me. I guess that's about, I must have talked about 5 minutes now. Thanks.
Yes, I agree. This is Sylvia. Thank you very much. Now, I believe we still don't have Garth doing on the call. Is Garth on? No, he's not. So we will continue then to the second position, and we'll ask Garth to speak when he's online. The second, Narallo elect member to fill the seat vacated by Glenn McKnight. Then 2015 AGM to 2016 AGM. We have nominee Alan Greenberg. Alan, 5 minutes, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I don't plan to take my full 5 minutes. Most of what I want to see in ALEC and at large, Avery has already talked about, and I suspect you're going to find that pretty much everyone has very similar positions on a lot of those things. As current chair at this point in a nominating committee position, I have one more year to run and not very much chance of that position being refilled. I've already had several nominating committee appointments, and I think another one is more than one could expect. Therefore, when Glenn decided that he was going to vacate the position, it seemed to make some sense to essentially give me an opportunity to fill that position, which would allow me to continue being chair for, you know, perhaps another year after these 2 years, but also be available to any successive chair to mentor them. I know certainly when Olivier took over, he valued Cheryl's staying around, and I have been infinitely grateful to Olivier for being here on my first year of chair. The learning curve and the vast amount of work, much of which I never even imagined was happening, is quite interesting. So this gives me an opportunity, hopefully with the approval and support of Narallo, to continue doing this for another year or so. And I'm hoping everyone will agree to that. I'd certainly answer questions on my positions. I think most of them are pretty well known at this point, and the statement I wrote does cover most of the things I think are important. So I'm not going to take up a lot more time, but give people an opportunity to ask questions should they choose. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. We will continue then with the next position, Narallo Chair, position currently held by Gus Bruin. His current term ends on 2015 October at the end of the AGM. The new term starts immediately after the end of the current term and continues until the end of 2016 AGM. Nominee Glenn McKnight. Nominee Glenn, you have 5 minutes. You have the floor.
Great. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, so go ahead.
Okay, it's a great pleasure to have this opportunity, and thanks again, staff and Sylvia, being the moderator today. It was a great opportunity for me to put my name in the hat for chair for Narallo. I've been in the ICANN space now since 2008. We actually got recruited as our ALS by Evan in 2008, and my first face-to-face was in Mexico City at the capacity building at GA that we did in Mexico City back in 2009. So it's been roughly 8 years that I've been actively involved. Now, I think it's important for me to mention that I made, as Ellen alluded to it, there is a move. I had another year left with my ALAC at the two-year term, but my decision to make the change from my current position of ALAC, it did require some soul-searching on terms of taking this move, but it, I looked at the fact that we were losing, two incredibly leaders in our organization, starting with Evan, who was our first chair, and he's been the interim chair for the last 6 months or so, and he's got a great position in Geneva. But second of all, Garth's decision to move to ALAC also provided a huge hole in the leadership within Narallo. So I thought that here we have two individuals leaving. I really felt that it was important that somebody step up and fill that void, somebody with experience in the Narallo space. So I decided, I was encouraged to do it. by a number of people that I know within the Norella space, and so I made that move. Now, I think it's important to mention some of my experience within Norella. Some of you may know some of this experience, but I think it's worth repeating. I think I have a good record in terms of my participation with the NOMCOM. It was the second year in particular was a very tough year, but we made through in flying colors. I also had a position for 1 year as secretariat, and as I mentioned, this will be my first year as an ALAC member. Currently, I share a position as vice chair with Judith as the vice chair of the technology task force. I'm a member of the accessibility committee. I've been a strong advocate to have good relations with Aaron, our RIRs, which led to the adoption of and signing of a Aaron MOU, which we had the ceremony the last ICANN meeting. I've organized successfully two Norella showcases, and I need to point out that they were culturally appropriate. The one in Toronto made special efforts to have the Métis performers at that event, and I think we did phenomenal work with Loris's group to have the hoop dancers, and our main speaker was very inspirational on Native issues and broadband. Those are two achievements. In addition, you probably have seen me with lots of video and cameras. A lot of that material, the video, the photos, have always been open source. They've always been available for anyone to download. They've never been, the attribution license has been Creative Commons. So the material I've done, which is thousands, actually 73,000 pictures, probably about 300 video clips, have been available. And it's great historical information because some of these people are no longer with us. In addition to that, I attended the full, I believe, maybe 4 or 5 days in Durban for the Summer School of Internet Governance. And the last thing is the co-founder of the Internet Society of Canada chapter. Now, in terms of my main focus of the last couple of years, I think I've been a strong advocate for the underrepresented communities in ICANN ecospace. First of all, the First Nations. Second, persons with disabilities. And the third area is the U.S. territories, the 15 U.S. territories in the South Pacific, which we have no ALSs, we have no representation, and we have none of them being eligible for the fellowship program despite having income that's lower than a lot of least developed countries. So what is my vision as the chair? My vision for the chair is to really get active participation by Norella members in issues important to our community. I want to see us recruit actively the inactive, or we'll say inactive members in our membership into working groups. We'd like to see a concrete survey sent out to ask our community what the main issues are. As we proposed recently a general assembly, so we were hoping that would be during the Aaron period, and that would be an idea that we get all the ALSs together and actually look at what the major issues are. Key is to perform a SWOT analysis of Norella's involvement within ICANN and really come up with recommendations, what are our shortcomings and how to resolve them. And as I said, encourage the ALS and acknowledgement in our I, for one, was probably a miss in not having my own ALS really showcase my involvement with ICANN. I rectified that. I have a very large section within my own ALS. The site is www.fbsd.org. And I've actually added a lot of pictures, a lot of content, and I think that's a miss with a lot of our ALSs in Norella to actually mention what our involvement in doing outreach. So in closing, I had a number of choices to make in accepting the nomination. One of the major ones is turning down the opportunity as was suggested to me to be the replacement for the president of the Internet Society of Canada. And I thought, well, here's a choice. Where can I make the biggest impact? I believe that ISOC Canada is in good stead with the leadership we have. So I just had to make this decision, and my decision has been Norello. So I'm looking forward to work with the team. I'm looking forward to any suggestions and being open to our policy to work with the community. And that's it. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you very much. So we have, I am told we have Gus Bruin on the phone.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Hello, Gus. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
We have Javier Goodwell back to the first position, the Norello ILAC representative member. So you have the floor, 5 minutes to introduce yourself for this position. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is Garth Bruin. Sorry I'm late to the call. It's finals week, and I'm dealing with a number of student crises at the moment, trying to make sure that people's grades and assignments are all in. But to the business at hand, I have been the Norello chair for 3 years now. This last particular year, I had to step aside for a long period because of some family issues. These are, you know, pretty much resolved now, but I don't believe that it's fair of me to continue to hold the chair after being absent for so long, and I want to see some other people take on the leadership role and get the experience. But while I was chair, we started, much with Glenn's help and other people's help, we started a recruitment drive to get new ALSs. And this started in Toronto when I was first chair at the first meeting, the first General Assembly, and we kind of looked around the table and we asked the question, you know, who's missing from this discussion? Who's not at the table? We really decided that it was very, very important in order for, you know, ICANN in general to fulfill its role to reach out to the multi-stakeholder community to really get to the general internet users out there, that we in our region had to fill these empty seats. And some of the, you know, the communities that we identified were, you know, people with special needs, disabled communities, you know, people with access issues, particularly in North America, the First Nation or Native American communities. We really set out to find these user groups out there who are not engaged in ICANN's policy structure. And one of the things that I found in doing this is that many people who are concerned about internet policy issues don't even know that ICANN exists. I mean, this was really our first hurdle. We had to go out and find these groups, and then when we started to talk to them, we had to explain to them the role that ICANN had in their lives. I mean, this was really a huge hurdle. And we're doing it on a volunteer basis. And this became extremely frustrating. Then, you know, even when we would get groups that were interested, getting them to commit to this sort of volunteer activity was an additional hurdle that we had to get over. It's been, in some cases, it's been very rewarding because some of the groups that we've recruited have been amazing, and we're really proud of the work that we've done with them and that they've done on their own. But on the other hand, this ICANN is failing. ICANN is failing in this mission to truly reach out to the global user community. As somebody who is doing this on a volunteer basis, it's humbling to be in this position of having to reach out to community groups, get them engaged, and really do all of ICANN's footwork and really do all of ICANN's marketing. And at the same time, pay attention to our current issues, the things that are already on the table that we need to deal with, and the things that my own at-large structure is concerned about. It is impossible. It is impossible for a small group of people to do all of this work. So one of the things that I want to do as a member of ALAC is truly address this issue where ICANN is failing to really embrace the global user community. It's not doing it. And I want to spend all my time finding a way to make this work, because right now it's not working. And, you know, if anybody has any questions, wants to talk to me about anything specific, you know, feel free to do so. But this is really my number one concern, is that there isn't a framework to adequately do what ICANN says it wants to do in terms of reaching out to the global community.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Garth, for your statement. Now we will continue with the next position, Naralo Secretariat. It's for a term of 1 year until 2016. We have two nominees, Judith Hellerstein and Louis Hull. We start with Judith. Judith, you have 5 minutes. You have the floor.
Hi, welcome. Can everyone hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. I'm also, although I am still a relatively newcomer in all, if you're looking at all of everyone who was on the call, but I've been, since I was recruited by Glenn and by Evan to join, I've been very active on a lot of the same issues that Glenn and Goss and Avery spoke about, looking at the people who don't know about ICANN, who are end users, who are left out of the community. So I've been working on issues, trying to get the special needs disabled, but also looking at the people whose native language is not English and also from bandwidth-constrained countries. So that's why one of the things that Glenn and I worked on in both the technology task force and accessibility would be to look at captioning, both for video and for audio and regular group meetings. And we just got our first special budget proposal passed, so we're looking at starting our pilot. But also, I'm also very concerned about in what I've been doing on the Secretariat since Goss appointed me to take his term, was to make sure that we get all the different other groups, ALSs within Naralo, to become active and try to recruit new people to join committees and try to get more people involvement. So it doesn't always remain to be the same people doing over and over again. But we need new blood, and we need newcomers, and if it wasn't for the mentorship that Glenn had given me, I don't think I would have been active. And so I think that is one of the things I believe strongly in. I'm also a very strong believer, just like Aubrey is, in having an open and transparent process that respects the opinions of all members. Because without that, we cannot gain the trust that we need, and people will not put their trust in us either. They'll say, why am I volunteering for something if the people who are running it don't believe in it? So that is sort of what I would like to say what I'm planning on doing. And as you can see by the agenda for the meeting on Monday, one of our goals is to try to recruit new members for committees, to get people active and explain to them how they can take a small role that could build up to a larger role. I've listed all the committees that I've been involved with on my statement of interest, which I linked to my page on the elections page. Mostly it's all been on, I'm co-chair of the technology task force. We're looking at remote users, we're looking at users who are often left out and cannot come to ICANN events. So we're looking at different things. We're looking at make sure of accessibility, and then we are also looking at a range of other different topics, as well as I've also been very active in the finance and budget and then the accessibility and some other committees. So I think I might have talked a lot, but I look forward to having your questions and any things that you might want to ask me, and I hope to answer them. So I think over the short time that I've been Secretariat, I would like to continue in some of these endeavors, especially reaching out to more communities and then getting them involved. I notice, as Garth has said, a lot of people don't know about ICANN, and we want to tell them what the impact of them, especially on the small businesses and small consumers and end users, and how they can help their lives. So that's basically what I plan on continuing doing if you reelect me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judith. Now we have the floor for Louis Hull. Louis, you have 5 minutes.
Yes, thank you, and good morning, everybody. Well, I've been on the narrow loop since its inception, actually. ISAC Quebec's been working at the very beginning of the adventure, and we thought that that type of organization should be defending end users, since ICANN has a very bad record on defending end users. And I think that during the last couple of years, there's been some improvement on the record of Narrolo, but there's still a lot more to do. When we're talking about end user, I'm not only talking about recruiting new members. I think that one of the main goals that I would like to achieve would be in reach, because a lot of members now don't contribute, and we would like to have some people active on committees, and we would like to, so I think that, in reach is going to be very important in the next coming years for that seat. I come from I'm bringing a cultural scope, you can hear from my nice accent that I'm not an Anglophone. Anyway, what I like to think is that I could bring a community scope. Hablo también un poco español. I can speak Spanish fairly. Eduardo, I hope you agree with that. During the last couple of years, the last 2 years, I've been in a knockdown. So don't ask you the question why I'm not always participating. The NOMCOM is kind of demanding. We're spending right now, we have a weekly meeting. It's long hours of work, and the NOMCOM is trying to be more transparent, for this I've been working on the NOMCOM Transparency Committee, and I think that the report card is now reflecting some of the work that we've been doing. It's important for us to report to the community more transparently, and I think that we've been bringing some improvement on that point. I'm from ISOC Quebec, and I'm proud to say that we help ISOC Canada to start its activities. It's very important for us. I've been also participating in the .Quebec application very, very closely, so I know pretty much what some of the problems are with ICANN regarding the the registries. I've been also very active in many activities in Quebec here to promote ICANN activities. Some new ALs, you know, I've been recruiting them. But, of course, it's always very complicated sometimes to have people to contribute here in Quebec because of the language. It's a barrier, natural barrier, but I think that what I really like about Arlo is that we are currently using three languages, Spanish, English, and French, and I would like to contribute to raise that that sense that end users in North America are using a different cultural background. So I think that just a word to finish. I think that ICANN accountability and transparency is poor. I think that Gart was mentioning that earlier. And we definitely need to shift and improve that situation. And the only, I think that one of the best tools that we have to do that is the Narrow. And this is what I would like to be contributing to, communications and inreach. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Luis. Thank you very much for your presentation. We have the next position, the Narrale 2016 NOMCOM delegate. The nominee, Eduardo Diaz. Eduardo, you have 5 minutes. You have the floor.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to say that I have been involved with ICANN about 10 years ago, since 2006. I was one of the co-founders of NARALO when the ICANN came to Puerto Rico. But other than that, this position that I'm sitting for in NOMCOM, I don't know if many of you know that my tour with ALAC ends at the end of October of this year, and I just want to keep contributing not only to the region through NARALO, but to ICANN and ALAC and ICANN as a whole. So I thought that a good position for me to help within that respect is to be part of the NOMCOM representing NARALO. I think I have enough experience with ICANN. I think I understand the structures within ICANN and some of the things and structures that ICANN is all about. And I'm currently participating in the CWG for the proposal that is being put together for the main function. And I think that there has been a great experience, not only for me, but for many of the people that are participating there, because it has opened my eyes in some of the big issues that are, you know, involved, not in the main, mostly in main functions and other organizations that deal with the ICANN issues. So other than that, you know, I think I can use, like I said, I can use my experience since all these years and in the NOMCOM, and this will be my second tour in the NOMCOM, so I know most of the processes within there, but in talking to some of the members that are currently participating there, I know there have been some changes that I think are for the good of the NOMCOM and for the good of getting the best people to work right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. With this, we have completed all the positions, the presentation, so we are going to open up for questions and answers. And we have noted one question which was posted on the chat by Tom Lowenkart to Avery. I will read it out. It says, Avery, I would like to hear more about the remedial ground. Who would be eligible? Cities?
Thanks, Mrs. Avery. Should I answer now? basically, okay, wanted to emphasize something that Alan said in the chat. This is something that a few of us have been talking about, have been trying to convince people of, but it is not yet even close to on the books. The thoughts that I have been having on it is that we failed miserably in reaching to developing economies. Now, when I say developing economies, in fact, the definition already includes an indigenous economy, but it also, I would think of it even being broader in terms of, you know, communities that were in economically defined zones of you know, of poverty. So a broad definition of that. And I think, of course, that cities within these regions, within these economies, should, you know, be part of it as well. It's more than just the having the program. It's making the outreach the program. It's going through and making sure that these communities know about it and looking at things that the GAC and ALAC suggested on the first round is that for many of these applications should be, if not free, at least not you know, things that would bankrupt whoever applies. So that's it. One of the things that we also missed is we did not work with the ALSs and the fact that they are in many of these communities or know of many of these communities and did not use them to educate people about the round or to help bring them into the economy of into ICANN's, you know, economic advantages, if there are any. So that was it. Well, we see lots of people get rich, so perhaps these developing economies can get some of it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery. We have another question. Evan Libovich, one question to all ALAC candidates. What is the single biggest challenge regarding ICANN policies, not its processes, in relation to at-large and the public interest? So we'll start with, this is for all candidates. We'll start with Garth, if you would like to answer this question.
Yep, sure. This is Garth. ICANN's biggest issue is that it doesn't actually engage Internet end users globally in meaningful ways where people can actually be involved in the policy discussion. It's not really doing it. So it has to find a way to actually reach every single Internet user, and that's really where the challenge lies.
Thank you very much, Garth. If you would like to answer this question as well, Avery.
Sure, this is Avery speaking. I'd be happy to. I think one of the things that is the biggest at the moment is the public interest and the at-larges' roles in that public interest, that in all of the issues that we're dealing with, there's a public interest, there's a public impact, and these things need to be taken into account, need to be balanced, and they're not. So that, I think, is probably one of the most cross-cutting of the issues at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Avi. And then Alan, would you like to answer?
Yes, thank you. As I think indicated by the last two answers, Evan's question is perhaps a trick question. He says, what's the challenge regarding the policies and not its processes? But the largest challenge from that largest point of view is indeed the fact that the processes do not allow, I won't say equitable, but do not allow appropriate access from at large and ALAC at the right times, and certainly not with, from my point of view, not with the right amount of power. So we are in a game of catch-up all the time. In terms of what the issue is, yes, the public interest is the subject. but it's tightly linked with the processes, and I'm not sure you can answer ignoring how ICANN goes about setting its policies. I could certainly identify specific things in policies that have had negative impacts on the user population potentially, and certainly much of what happened associated with new GTLDs, things like the conflicting meanings of TLDs and the potential confusion of users that were resolved in ways which I believe are exactly counter to the needs of end users. How you can have some plurals that are confusing and others that are not is really a difficult concept, but it maps back to the fact that the processes were inadequate in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. So we have, this question was addressed to ALAC candidates, so I have chosen the first two candidates. The second question from Peter Knight is to nominees for ALAC and NOMCOM. So it will be addressed to Garth, Avery, Alan, and Eduardo. It says, please indicate some means by which you would help bring more developing countries' representatives to become active in ICANN affairs and represent their interests as end users. Garth.
Yes, thank you for the question, Peter. This is definitely something that I'm very, very concerned about. And it goes to the points that I was bringing up earlier. Having to travel to meetings three times a year is a huge burden for people. And, of course, you know, the further you are away from, you know, the center of the universe and the less money you have, the harder it becomes. And the fact that, you know, these important decisions are made during these three-week meetings, and they're only seem to be made in person, is really not something that is efficient in a century where we're supposed to be working, you know, at light speed. I mean, this is about the governance of the internet, and ICANN is not properly using the internet to engage the internet user in policy discussion. So one of the things that I would want to address is using the internet properly to actually bring people into the policy world and educate them about it, which isn't happening right now. You can't really expect that internet users are going to be properly represented by a handful of people who go to meetings three times a year. So I want to find a way to enhance that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Garth. Next is Avery with the answer.
Hi, thanks. This is Avery speaking again. I guess I want to start out by agreeing with pretty much everything Garth said on it. For myself, what I was thinking of is that using the internet is to make sure that we reach out with questions more often in an easier to respond manner, so that we start to build a constant communication between those who have, you know, become ALSs and have joined, in terms of just making sure that they know of the issues, that they are given a chance to give opinions on the issues in an easy manner, but a manner that allows them to participate as deeply as they want and assist them with that. So I think. You know, and it's something that I argued when the SOP, the Standard Operating Procedure, I guess it is, I'm not sure I got the letters right, was being discussed in terms of how we elect our board seat or some of the other roles that we have, that I think that it is really good to use the ROLOs, but I think on some of these issues to really pull people in, you've got to give them a voice in some of the most critical decisions. So finding a way that the ALSs could participate more directly in the vote, not just there being a vote that represents the collective voice of ALSs in the in the Rollo vote, but that they actually do get a vote somehow. So those are the kinds of things that I've argued for in the past and would continue to work for. I think those would help. Thanks.
Thank you, Ari. And Peter has just added, I think he's qualifying his question. He's adding, but what ways to use Internet? Are we talking of social media, more articles, programs in the conventional print or electronic media, or what? I think he's qualifying his previous question, so just adding that. So the next one to respond would be Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take a slightly different tact. Although everything that was said was correct, I think that there are some really substantive problems that we have. Garth is right that not everyone can travel to meetings a year. On the other hand, you rarely get things done locally unless there are champions. Champions who are believers, who put more time into it than anyone can reasonably expect, and more energy into it than anyone can reasonably expect. And the ICANN does not make that easy for people from developing economies. There was an ATRT, Accountability and Transparency Review Team recommendation now a year and a half ago that we still haven't seen a lot of action on, and that said we need to make sure that people who aren't supported by the industry are not disadvantaged. I think they are. We've recently had a case where a regular participant to ICANN cannot come to a meeting because there are very large costs associated with getting a visa, and ICANN refuses to pay them. It's something we're looking at, but each of these you've got to chip at one by one. So I think in combination with in getting involved lots of people at the local level, we also have to make sure that the conditions are primed to get the champions and the believers very actively involved. It's fine to say we need to use the Internet more, but we're in a situation where the Internet is not really available in many parts of the world, not at the speed we expected and not at the cost we expected to be. And these are real problems. And for those of you who participate in phone calls, you know we're challenged to get voice participation, whether it's over the Internet or a telephone line, and we have significant problems in that part of the world. So we have real difficult problems, and we have to simply chip away at them one by one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And Eduardo, please.
Hello, I'm sorry. I thought I have been mute. Here I'm going to talk from the com standpoint. And within the non-com, and I'm talking here on experience, we do, I know we actually go out and pick people from developing countries, and like Alan said, it's very important for these people to understand the commitment and the example that he just gave of somebody that was elected by the NOMCOM, and now this person cannot travel to Buenos Aires in this case because I will not pay for the cost of the visa, and it's something that we have to look at, even though it's not part of the requirements, but we need to look at that too. Things like were mentioned, wikis, regional directors helping in the regions to seek for people that are interested in ICANN. And I will say also that with the new meeting strategies that is going to start open up next year, the meeting B, which is the middle one, will allow ICANN to go to places that we couldn't go before, that were part of the developing world because of the size of the meeting. And, you know, if you look at that meeting, the first day or two are for outreach. So I think that will help a lot, not only from the non-com point of view, but also from my life. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. This is Silvia. I do not see any other question on the chat. So please, the floor is open, so you may raise your hand and ask any questions or type it, and we will read it out. I see some people typing. However, I do not see any other question on the chat. We still have 3 more minutes, so you may want to use that time perhaps to make some closing remarks. If you would like, any of the candidates would like to do that, please feel free to take the floor.
Well, this is Garth. I just wanted to say that I really, really appreciate all the work, especially that Glenn, Evan, and Judith have done this year while I was away. And I think that having them involved is so important, and everybody who was served by them is so lucky, and I'm just glad that they're still with us.
Okay, we have someone, Louis has raised his hand. Please, go ahead.
Yes, and I would like to thank everybody who's here this morning, because it's not an easy task. Contributing in Naralo takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it's very interesting, and I'm very happy to see that there's a commitment from many persons that we heard this morning. So thank you very much for this.
Thank you very much. Now we have Avery is next.
Avery. I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm almost always online, and any questions or anything that occurs to anybody after this or any time, you know, I'm always willing to talk about the stuff that I'm doing and care about. So please contact me. And thanks for considering me.
Thank you, Judy. Judy.
Yes, Judith Helstein. And thanks so much for coming out to the call. I'm also always available, so please just email or Skype me or call me with any questions, and I'll be happy to address them. And I do hope we can do a lot more on InReach and trying to do work with get more people involved, and maybe starting up with some kind of, like, within Naralo, a Naralo mentoring program, because I know that really helped me get more involved. And so that's something maybe we could also look at starting up to try to get more Naralo people involved.
Thank you very much, Judith. We have Tom. Tom has asked a question. Someone mentioned making issues more concise. Who would do that? Do we need the staff to do that? And then he follows anyone with an answer. So this is addressed to anyone with an answer. Scoping policy issues is difficult. Who does that? Who would like to respond to this question?
This is Garth. I'll be happy to. I think that, you know, as people who are involved in the policy and attending the meetings, we start to adopt the jargon and all of the acronyms as well. And what I think we should be doing is reinforcing the need for ICANN to use plain speak. And they have to imagine that whenever they're speaking about sweeping policy changes that affect the Internet globally, they need to speak in a way that makes sense to everybody and is easy to understand. And avoid jargon and avoid this insider, you know, kind of communication talk that we see in all the memos and documents. And just speak plainly. Tell people what particular changes will mean to them. And we need to enforce this so when we go back to our own constituents, it's easy for us to explain what's actually happening. And that's really a big communication issue.
Thank you very much, Garth. And then Alan is next. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I don't think it's an answer of who does it. It's a group. I think Glenn said it's a group effort. Clearly, the documents have to largely be written by ICANN. We're living in a complex world, and we can't remove the complexities from the subject, but there need to be phrases and summaries that are more accessible. And it's got to be done with the community
input into the process, because people who are embraced or embedded in it have a hard time understanding just what is jargon and what is common speak. So it's going to have to be a joint effort, but certainly yet ICANN staff, and I'm not talking particularly about at-large staff, are going to have to play a very large role.
Thank you very much, Alan. Aubrey, please, you have a floor.
In addition to what's been said, one of the things we've seen in the cross-community working group on accountability, they brought in an outside firm that actually helped to, once they had managed to understand it, they were able to do pictorial and other expositions of the work that I think will help. And it's that kind of, it is ICANN, but it is all of us, as Alan said, participating in it, reviewing it, making sure it says what we think it needs to say, but people that have a different way of communicating than that. So that kind of using other services to help us figure out how to explain things better. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And Louis is next.
Thank you. I've been working 30 years in a government, the Quebec government, and I must say that ICANN is worse than the government. There's so many acronyms, there's so many formulas that are difficult to understand, and especially for non-anglophone when it's not translated, and there's a lot of room for improvement. Only in, and as Alan was saying, it's not only ALAC matters, it's everywhere in the organization. I've been working, writing request proposals so many times. I've been working with technicians, I've been working with lawyers, and we absolutely have to be very, very precise in what we're going to deliver and understandable, and this is one of the preoccupations that I have regarding ICANN. The whole organization. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Louis. And with this, we are finishing this call, and we would like to thank you, everyone, for joining and for introducing yourselves and answering all these questions. And then the next steps will be for Narralo to issue a consensus call or to do elections if you would decide to do so. So staff is at your disposal to organize either your consensus call or both elections and consensus call. So just let us know.
Silvia, can I say something before we go?
Oh, Eduardo, yes, please. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you, Silvia, for, if staff was the one that did this, I think this is the first time, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have been participating not an actor, but in a meeting like this, so people are, the people that want to be part of the Navarro and LAG, they have an opportunity for all the people to ask questions here. I think this was a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo, very much. Of course, we are here at your disposal and to provide you all the services required to accomplish your goals. And Heidi is asking, is writing down that the decisions will be made at the Narralo's monthly call on Monday. So we have all of these decisions to make very soon. Thank you again very much. And
Sylvia, it's Alan.
Ah, yes, please. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'd just like to second what was just said about the, this is probably the first time this is done. However, in light of the rather relatively small number of people who are not up for selection who are attending this call, as soon as the MP3 is available, I would suggest a very targeted message to Narralo, all Narralo list participants, not looking like our normal one saying a meeting call is now available, but pointing out that in light of the selection process that's may be culminating next Monday, that they may want to listen to this call.
Excellent. Okay, Alan, thank you very much. And we are taking this as an action item. I will get, once the recording is available, I will send it to you, and we will then take the next step as required.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The call is now adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you
for the call.
Bye. Yep.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Gracias. Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.